Hi guys, and welcome to my first episode of Topic Tuesdays. I'm joined by my favorite human ever, Miss Tay Blue, as you may know her, but I call her Taylor. But I know Jack calls you Tay, so I feel like you go by Tay.
I feel like there's not a lot of people that call me Taylor.
I am one of them.
Yeah.
Fun fact, guys, I've actually known Taylor for 10 years.
Yeah.
No one will really know this.
Yeah.
But should we give a backstory?
Yeah.
Briefly. So I used to be in a relationship with someone, and way back when, I mean, I don't know if you know this, but Taylor's an amazing singer. Mm-hmm. And she used to make more music, didn't you?
Yeah.
And my ex-boyfriend 10 years ago, like, was managing you.
Yeah.
And they had one studio session, and I turned up, and this was when you had your big blonde curls and Hot Mess was popping. So I've actually known Taylor for 10 years, and I feel like when I'm with... I mean, we haven't seen each other in
a long time.
Yeah, but I feel like I saw you yesterday.
There was one time when I was coming out of a club where we just discussed.
I just still don't remember this.
And I was literally paralytic, just come out. And I was like needing to go home when you were coming in. So that was the end of my drinking.
Those were the days.
Yeah.
I don't remember that anyways. So thank God.
Good.
Anyways, let's get into it. So you may or may not know, but Taylor is an avid Starbucks-er and has created her own drink. Now, I went to Starbucks just before I came here, tried to keep the drink as fresh as possible to get the taste.
I feel like you're giving me diva vibes. Like, we're done. We had this ready for you. It's not been stirred. We've kept it at room temperature.
But Taylor, you even sent me a picture of how you want.
Yeah, I was like, look, if you want to show the picture, I can.
Taylor sent me a picture and she was like, this is what it should look like. I walked into Starbucks and I said, please, can you make it look like this?
They did. They did. So good.
So please,
okay,
take a drink.
Can I just say, I've not had one of these in a really long time.
Oh, have you not?
No, because the Starbucks that I am local to,
mm-hmm. I'll get mine
it's
too.
A service station, so the
Cheers.
Staff...
Thanks for joining me. So we're getting a taste test, Birmingham Starbucks.
Okay.
This Starbucks is the one, I can't remember the street, so just
okay,
go for it.
Here we go.
Oh gosh, I feel pressure. Take a real good.
That's a good one.
It's good?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's popping.
Is there room for improvement? Get that ASMR, Carl.
I feel like...
Get the sip in.
I feel like this one could have had a bit more syrup, but I feel maybe like the syrup's down here a little bit.
Mm.
But it's gorgeous. It's very creamy.
I really like it.
Mm.
Okay, so the first time I got one of these, Taylor, I thought I was going to shit myself. Like,
oh, this is literally like... This is not for the IBSs.
I was shopping in town. I was in H&M changing rooms. It's going
to
happen.
You have to be near a toilet at all times. I'd say for the next 3 hours... Like, is there a toilet in here? I'm not going to drink all of this for that reason.
How are you going to create a drink that you need to be by a toilet by?
No, I feel like, yeah, it's the pouring cream. Pouring cream is basically like a
laxative. It's delicious, but I feel like... But this one I feel like is a little less needing the toilet. This one is a bit more like coffee.
This one is like...
I got a smaller size though.
Yeah, this is like wear a nappy vibe. But gorgeous. Thank you so much for that.
Ooh, you're welcome. I thought there's no other way to start this podcast without it.
The Tay Brew.
Yeah, without the Tay Brew. So if you guys want to try the Tay Brew, it's on your Instagram page.
It's in my highlight.
We'll put all of Taylor's... Well, you already... I feel like a lot of my...
I feel like the same. Yeah.
So I feel like a lot of people will be knowing. But anyways, I'll put all of Taylor's details so you can go and check the girl out. Okay, so no, in all seriousness, Topic Tuesdays. We picked a topic for today because I felt like it was great to talk about it with Taylor because we've both recently gone through it. And let's be honest, we've had different experiences, I would say. So Taylor recently, well, Story's 5 months old. So Jack and Taylor had a baby girl named Story who's absolutely adorable and I personally think is your twin. It's scary.
I thought that, but she is actually like morphing into Jack now.
Oh, really?
And they always say that the first girl always looks like her dad, and I feel like that's happening.
I've not met Story. I will very soon. And you've not met Ziggy, but you will very soon. But I feel like from the pictures, twin. And I feel like I had Ziggy 14 months ago, so Ziggy's like 10 months
old. He's well established.
But he's a big boy now. But I feel like the experiences we went through, and I think we are both people online who are quite open and honest.
Very.
And we don't really hold back, and we're both quite raw. So I thought this is a topic that I've actually not spoken about yet, and I genuinely feel like I was saving it for something like this. And I do want to talk to our people about it with you.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, as we've both gone through it, is something that we can touch on. So I'm going to be on my phone because as we're keeping this very real, raw and current, I'm genuinely looking at the entries that I got 24 hours ago as to how online people feel having a baby affects your relationship. And no one talks about this. And I had no clue the extremities, how like your relationship could be affected by a baby. Mm-hmm. Like no one talks about it. Would you agree?
I've never heard anybody talk about it.
And when, like, I'll be honest, I went through some really hard times and I felt so alone because I was like, is it me? Like, is it just my situation? Is it, like, why do I see no one else talk about this? Like, even like friends and family.
No.
But it's because I feel like maybe they also feel that way. Like, I also feel like a bit alone in it. So people keep it to themselves. But once you start to talk about it, people are like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, finally.
But don't you feel like that's like a common theme with loads of things to do with the baby? Because I feel like obviously there are some accounts there that give it to you real, but like there's so many things surrounding babies that I'm like, wait, this has never been spoken about.
Yeah.
And you feel like quite, it's like alone a taboo, like it.
Because
it's very glamorized.
Super glamorized.
Like there's so much about having a baby that's glamorized. And obviously
it's like the pretty pictures on Instagram with the little cute baby and the mom and dad smiling. And it's like, oh my God, this is so far from the truth. It actually burns my soul.
Yeah.
And like, we need to speak about it.
Yeah.
Me and Taylor spoke off camera last week about a few things, like just in general that like we both feel like, I guess, passionately about. But I'm going to talk to mostly about like what you guys have told us, because this podcast is about you. So I've made a list of like pretty much a lot of people were saying the same thing.
Okay.
And so I've made a list of like the very hot common themes. But because a lot of people were saying the same things, I feel like, it's the right things to touch on. There was a few people that said things that I was like, oh,
that's a
okay. And also, I'll be honest, 80% of the responses were negative. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
But I did just want to shout out to that 20% of people that said my relationship got better, my friendships got better, the communication got better, the love got stronger, the sex got better.
I feel like that is going to be like, that 20% might be
when the
part
baby
of the it also might be part of the process for those 80% people where eventually it gets to that. Because you're like, we've been through so much.
Yeah, 100%.
That literally nothing 100%. Can break us now.
And I also feel like the baby and how the baby is will be huge, like, what's the word I want to use? Like, oh my God, I can't think of the word. But like, for example, if you have a baby that sleeps through the night at 6 weeks, you won't go through half the problems because you're not sleep deprived.
Yes.
Like my
everything is revolved around sleep.
100%.
Like,
we're not built to not sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also saw something, I think yesterday, where it was actually a podcast and it was two mums on the podcast, I think. And they said that basically, in summary, like the job of a mother was never intended for one person.
No.
It was intended for a village.
Yeah. Yes.
So where they would like take care of the mother, and make sure she feels loved, make sure she feels touched, make sure she's fed, make sure she has all the nutrition.
Yeah.
And now it's come back to like, this
Mom.
Is your...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like...
I feel like it has become a little bit more like, in society, the dad's role as well. But there is still that...
I don't know, Taylor.
But there
I feel like it's so on the mom.
It is. It is. But there is, like, it has moved a little bit where it's a little bit more likely that the dad's more involved. But then I feel like there's a massive thing where it would be like, example, the term, he's such a hands-on dad. It's like...
It's like, no, you're just the dad.
You give birth to a child.
Yeah.
So
you chose 50-50, like, percent responsibility.
And it's like, if... A dad, I gave this example to my sister, like if I was to go away for work or something, like, I don't know, several weeks after having a baby, without a doubt, I would get like, oh my God, I can't believe you're leaving
the baby
so soon. Yeah. Like, but then if the dad went, nothing would ever be said.
It's expected,
ever.
No.
Yeah.
And also it's like, I read all the time, like, oh, when the kid is sick, the mom will pick them up from school and have to take the time off.
Yeah.
It's always, always, always a mom. But like, honestly, since becoming the mom, I feel that. So I can understand it. Like, naturally, if my baby was sick, I want to go and get them because, like, I don't know if you feel that way, but like, before Ziggy, I was cold, emotionless, detached from a lot. I think I had emotions, but I suppressed them.
Mm.
Like, I say emotionless, I had emotions, but like, I
suppressed them
for years, Taylor. So like, independent, but like way too like fiercely independent that it was like almost sad. Like,
really?
I never wanted to ever rely on anybody. Like, I've always been that way. Had Ziggy, legit, the second I pushed him out, whoa, I'm sensitive to everything. I feel...
It's like, you're 180.
Like, oh my God, I feel every emotion so deep. I cry all the time. Like, I cry at
hormones.
Yeah.
It's something we need to touch on.
I cry at everything. Everything can trigger me. Because, like, I feel like my hormones and emotions have just been, like, flip turned 180. And I don't want to be that girl anymore. Like, I want to be the girl that feels. Like, yeah. I want to be the girl that's in touch with her emotions. I want to cry.
Yeah.
I want to be able to say, like, no, this is how I feel. Because for 26 years of my life, I have pushed out, just kept going and pushed everything aside. And it's like, I don't want to live like that anymore. So I feel like that's brought out something good. Do you know what I mean? But
definitely.
It's like, whoa, this is so different. And I need to get to a place now where I can control it a little bit. Because, like, someone could do one thing, like, as I said to you, they're, like, breathe in the wrong direction. And I'll be like, oh, and I'll just, like, break down. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
We need to find a balance.
Yeah, 100%.
Anyways, have we just got a bit off track there? Don't even know what I was talking about.
No.
But okay, we're going to talk on the first subject that came up so much, because I feel like this is huge. Because I really experience this too. Love languages and sex.
Okay.
When you have a baby.
Yeah.
So, what is your love language?
I would say I'm one of those people where, I don't know whether you've ever heard this, but there's a life guru called Tony Robbins.
Okay.
And he basically has this, I think Jack shared this with me before actually. There's like a tick list of like things that we need as a human, or you can, whatever, like, you know, for you to feel happy basically in life, you might need to have a tick for like work's going well, and relationships, family, it might be sex, it might be all of the fitness, like progression, because he says progression equals happiness. And I feel like I'm one of those people where I like to have everything a little bit ticked.
Okay.
It's not gonna be like crazy on one of them. Like, I don't need to be like given gifts all the time.
Okay.
I don't need to like have sex all of the time. Like, that's not really naturally my love language. But I would say like I like to feel that everything is rolling a little bit. Okay. And I can notice it when something's not, when it gets to that point where it's like almost boiling over a little bit, and I'm like, you haven't given me any attention.
Okay. And would you say Jack's the same?
Yeah, I would. And that...
So that works really well together.
Yeah, see, this is where someone said to me before that basically, it might have even also been Tony Robbins actually that this came from, that having a sexless relationship isn't a problem unless one person really wants it. And it's the same in all languages.
Yeah, I mean, it makes perfect sense, isn't it?
It's the same in all languages. So, like, if there's someone in a relationship that really wants sex, but the other person doesn't really want it, then there's a clash, isn't there? And it's the same...
It's like me when I had Ziggy.
Yeah, so it's the same with everything.
Yeah, 100%.
I feel like me and Jack have got very similar love languages.
Really?
But we've also been together for 10 years, so I feel like we've, like, nurtured them together.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I mean, also, like... I'd also, in my situation, like, prior to Ziggy, I've actually never been in, like, a proper... Well, I'm not going to say I haven't been in a proper relationship, because I have been in a relationship, but I mean a relationship where you've really put in the work.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you've really, like, had to dig deep. And Seth, for example, is my first relationship where I've really had to put in work. And you do. And I feel like...
Do you mean, like, put in work to keep it going?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you really have to, like, dig deep. And you have to have conversations that, like, you've never probably thought you would have. And, like, for example, with regards to sex, because so many people, say, in the Topic Tuesdays were saying, like, my sex life is gone. I've got zero libido. Is it libido? Is that how you say it?
Libido.
Like, I can't look at my partner. Like, if he touches me, like, I just can't stand it. But, like, he's really unhappy. Like, I found him cheating on me. I mean, it broke my heart how many women really were saying that. Because
that's, you know, like, when you're the most, like, vulnerable as well. Like, that's, most, like, the worst.
Yeah. And like, they were saying, like, I just can't fulfill his needs. And, like, they were saying, like, I just don't want to. And I think people find such a disconnect when they have a baby, because your priorities as a woman and the way you can show love and how you really want to show love. Well, in my example anyways, like, when I had Ziggy, I breastfed for 7 months.
Yeah, breastfeeding, you did so well to do that.
No,
that's
but
amazing.
Taylor, breastfeeding killed my sex drive.
Really?
I couldn't even bear the thought of it. And I've always been extremely attracted to Seth, for example. I've always enjoyed that part of our life. That's his love language.
Is that his love language?
Oh my God, yes. Like, it's his own.
And you're a Scorpio, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm big into star signs, and Scorpio is like going to be the best lover. You know
Really?
Yeah, did you know that?
Well, I wasn't the best lover when I had a baby.
No, but they're supposed to be like the most like sexual passionate. Of the star signs and really just really good lovers.
Into it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I don't think Pisces. Me and Jack are both Pisces, which makes sense because we're not really like, you know what I mean? Like, that's just not our love language. Is just like, for example, it would be like, oh, babe, I'm just going to Zizzy, do you want anything? You know what I mean?
Oh, I
be like, oh my God, getting me food without
asking. Is that acts of service?
Yeah, I feel like I'm probably predominantly acts.
Yeah, I would say I'm really close to that one as well. But for example, in my situation, like obviously Seth's love language is heavily, I'd say he's probably his only one with acts of service actually. And I just couldn't.
Yeah.
So I think we were at a place where it's like, well, what, like genuinely, how do two people, like,
and how are we gonna show our love to each other?
And also, like, I don't know.
It's like so, like, I can't even digest that because that's so not, like,
in your thoughts.
Which is so crazy.
But also, when you're sleep deprived, you're like me and him, we probably had 2 hours sleep a night with all of Ziggy's. Like, Ziggy didn't sleep.
And that's enough to break anybody.
And that's enough. Like, the sleep deprivation, his work at the time, like, extremely long working hours out the house.
Yeah.
I'm trying to work as well. Like, we've got a poorly baby, and which was heartbreaking and just enough on its own.
Mm.
And it's like, well, unfortunately, sex to me doesn't.
It's bottom of the list.
But then it's like we struggled. You just crumble.
Yeah.
And so many people were writing, like, me and my husband are just roommates now, like, divorce is on the horizon because we just can't get it together. We don't sleep in the bed. We have no intimacy. Like, I can't bear the thought of him. I can't bear the sight of him.
It's really sad.
It's real, though, Taylor. Yeah. Like, it's really real. And I think people don't talk about it because people don't want to admit that that's happening, but it's happening to all of us. So let's just be real about it and let's just talk about it because then we feel a little bit more like, okay, like, I'm not failing, like, I'm not doing something wrong, it's just life, and this is what I'm going through, and it's okay. Like, hormones have a huge play in it. When I was breastfeeding Ziggy for 7 months, I was completely touched out.
Yeah.
Because he was on my nipple.
So overstimulated.
For the whole day.
Yeah.
And also, like, then when it comes to the other side of things, like, I'm like, I don't
have time. I don't have the energy.
I don't have the...
Is, like, so empty at this point.
Yeah,
that
I'm
it's
so
like,
overstimulated. I'm so drained. Like, I'm so tired. I'm so touched out. But then it's like... Men will, unfortunately, feel just not get it because they don't carry the baby. They don't push the baby out. They don't have the hormone rage. They don't have the hormone drop. They don't
The hormones
through.
Are like, I've definitely experienced that.
I got rage.
I wouldn't say I've got to the point of rage, but...
Wow.
I can be... I would say Jack is like the most level-headed person I know. Wow.
Shout out to Jack, by the way.
He's like this on all levels.
Really?
I can be going up here, I can be down here, and Jack
That's
will
what
always
you need
stay.
Then. Yeah.
Yeah, he will always stay there. And so, like, raising his voice...
Does he ever get angry?
Never happens. Never gets angry. He just doesn't. He's just extremely level-headed. But then, that makes you feel worse when... You know, I would say for me, it was in the first like 6 to 8 weeks, especially when you're on this autopilot of like learning how to be a mum, dealing with the sleep, like wondering what's coming next. And then you just catch yourself like, I don't know, I'm sure I'm not the only one just being so snappy.
And horrible.
And I like to think that I'm quite a self-aware person.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I can even think it straight after I'm doing it. I'm like, why am I speaking to him like this? But then I can't even snap out of it because my hormones are like, I'm just like, what have you do? Do you know what I mean? I go into that and I'm like, why am I speaking to him like that?
Like
that, and he's not doing it to me.
Yeah.
Like, he's
exactly
in the same position.
Same.
He's really tired and his life's changed and everything. Because, you know, me and Jack, we both work at home. So we're doing this 50-50, we really are. Mm. And, you know, why am I speaking to him like that? And he's
Did
not
he ever
speaking
speak,
to me
like
it.
That?
No. And then I'm like,
well done,
this,
Jack.
But this
you
is
really held it together.
But this is where the women's hormones come in because I think, well, why am I speaking to him like a piece of shit?
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Surreal.
But it's like it's I don't want to like take it away from the man, but it's so much harder for the woman.
It is
because you've got so much going on.
I mean,
like,
your hormones. I read something that they were like, when you have a baby, the hormone drop is like uncomparable. Like you,
I've read the same thing as well. I can't remember what it said, but I was like, that makes a lot of sense.
It's like the biggest.
Like, I screenshot this to Jax, just so he knows.
Literally. But like, I got rage.
Yeah.
I got hormonal rage.
But I also think that with like.
Everything else.
Yeah, I've not dealt with, you know, Ziggy being poorly and everything
that.
Like that with everything else. It's like I would have met rage and more.
Yeah. It's like a recipe for like it's like a recipe for failure.
Yeah.
Like when I think about like my relationship, for example, and the year I've had with Ziggy, it's like, we were literally gonna fail. Like how do you create success with all of these like contributing
factors. Yeah, you would doubt some
because
really
I feel like I am not like woe is not me and I'm not playing victim because I feel like Ziggy is meant for me and we were meant to go on that journey. We've learned so much about so much, you know, and we're now stronger than ever and Ziggy's like the most amazing, like I'm loving it so much more. But that first year was hell, I'm not gonna lie, it was hell.
Yeah,
I probably had 3 days of happiness.
That's and really hard.
I spent most days crying my eyes out, really like severely low. Definitely had postpartum depression. Suffered really.
Did you know that you had postpartum depression, or only looking back do you think?
Only looking back, because now I feel like a different woman. Mm. They talk about like fog and like dark clouds, and all I can explain is that for that year of my life, I felt like I had a big, thick, black, rainy cloud sat in my head, and nothing could shift it, nothing. And when I say I had like felt like I had 3 days of happiness, I'm not joking.
That's really.
But it's my journey and my path, and like that's okay. But it was real. And then obviously like the anxiety. I don't know. Did you have the intrusive thoughts?
I started to get intrusive thoughts. My intrusive thoughts were like, but I didn't know they were intrusive thoughts at the time, because I've heard some of my friends' intrusive thoughts.
They're real.
And I'm like, wow, like that's some really like hard stuff.
Yeah,
my intrusive thoughts were like, because my experience, people hear this all the time, right? That first minute that you get put on your chest, you just fall in love with them straight away. I didn't experience that, one, because I just had a forceps delivery, and
which is tough, girl.
So you have this like free spray put on you that like numbs everything.
Okay.
And so when they said, oh, the baby's coming out, so she came out and they like tried to put her on my chest, I couldn't hold her. Because my whole thing, I was weak.
Oh my goodness.
So I was like, oh, Jack, like, you're gonna have to have her. So I just like passed her straight up to Jack, because I couldn't hold her. And I was in like complete shock, because I was actually planning a home birth. And then I ended up having, every drug under the sun, because I was in 3 days slow labor. So like 72 hours at home with the worst contractions can ever imagine.
Why do you talk about them?
I cannot even begin to explain. Like my brain has forgot the pain. The pain was like
out of this world, isn't it?
This is where like I would have different challenges. In that 3 days of long labor, slow labor, I was like, why have I done this to myself? Why did I even have a baby? And I mean, stories an IVF baby. This was like a planned thing.
No.
I was like, I've made a really big mistake. What am I doing? And that was like an intrusive thought of like, wasn't I, Jack? I was like, I can't believe I've done this. I've ruined my life. What am I doing? Because I was in that much pain and I was having no sleep. So
we had like identical labors.
Yeah, and then I ended up going into hospital, like giving up on the home birth. And
did that kill
No, it didn't. To be
fair,
that's
good.
Because I was in that much pain, I was like, I just need to take me to hospital.
I hear
give
you.
Me what I want, an epidural.
Yeah,
I'd done all of the hypnobirth and everything, where it was like, you know, I'm gonna get on there and I'm gonna be on my yoga ball and I'm gonna have fairy lights and blah blah blah. And I was like, give me the epidural, give me everything now. I need to be out of
pain. So many women go through that.
And then basically I'd push for an hour and a half, and then they were like, right, we're gonna do a scan and see why the baby's not coming out. And her head was basically, she was down, but she was like that, so she was never gonna come out because
she
wasn't straight. So they literally had to forceps delivery. So yeah, when she came to me, I just basically passed her that way, and I didn't process it, but they do say at the time, hypnobirth, that's a really important part of like the initial bonding. I don't know whether that like changed things or whatever, but then basically 45 minutes into me in the recovery room, I felt like a gush of blood. And I was like, I've just felt a gush of blood. Like there was me. I was actually talking about McDonald's and like what I want to order to one of the nurses there. And then I was like, oh, I just felt a gush of blood. And they're like, oh, we'll come and check it. And then basically they lifted up the mat and they were like, oh. And then next minute there was like four nurses at the front and they were like, we're not happy with what's going on down here. We need to take you back into, what would it have been called? What was it called?
Labour ward or something?
We need to take you back into theatre.
Oh.
Yeah. And they were like, I think one of your stitches is not been stitched up. So basically three of my tears hadn't been accounted for with stitches. And I'd lost 1,250 millilitres of blood, so nearly 3 pints.
Wow.
And if I hadn't been taking iron tablets, which I was taking during pregnancy, I would have had to have had an immediate blood transfusion. But obviously during that time, which was probably like an hour in theatre or something like that, that's the time where you'd be
You're meant to be there with your baby. Jack's there
like, why is she being rushed into theatre? I'm now with this baby, I don't know what to do. Yeah, like, am I supposed to feed her? Like,
yeah, and also men don't have that immediate, like...
Like, maternal... It's a maternal thing. Yeah. It's like in us.
Yeah, because even before I had Ziggy, I was like, I don't know what to do when you bring the baby home. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But when you just do when it, you know, you
it's
know.
It's like an autopilot
thing. You get the baby... Yeah.
Yeah.
So you feel like you didn't immediately get that...
I didn't have that immediate love. And I feel like because it had been spoken about so highly, I then probably thought it was supposed to be way more than it is. So my intrusive thoughts were, I'd be in the bath and I'd go, do I love her enough?
Aww.
Am I supposed to love her more than this? Like, I wonder how much other people...
I can relate to that, you know.
I wonder how much other people love their baby. Like, is what I'm feeling, like, enough love? Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I didn't ever even mention that to Jack. And I would say that we've got a very, very close relationship where we just... Anything we feel, or I'll say it straight away. Like, there's no, like, oh, I don't really dare say it, but, like, I'll bring it up. So it's just, it comes straight out. And he's the same with me. And I didn't even mention that to Jack until we were, at, like, I can't remember the exact week now, but... We've mentioned this before, I just don't remember when it was, but I was in bed and I was like, I feel like I've had a really good day with her today and I feel like I really love her. Do you feel like that? And he was like, yeah, I really feel like that. And I was like, did you feel like you didn't know whether you like really loved her or like you didn't feel that kind of like look? And he was like, yeah, I feel like I'm starting to feel it now. And this was maybe like a few weeks down the line.
Yeah.
And we both kind of admitted to each other that we didn't feel that automatic like love. It was like, okay, oh God, I know I'm going to look after you.
And
we're on autopilot and nappy and feeding.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like, I love you.
But as time goes on.
As time's gone on.
Crazy.
Now it's like, I would honestly say every single day I love her more. I can't stop saying it. So I'm like, I love you. I love
you. And also when they start to show you their characteristics and like the little.
And it's like people can compare it to, and I know it's different for everybody. It's like, well, how can you love something that you don't really know? And it's like, yeah, like when you see it like that, it's kind of like, oh, I can understand that.
Yeah. It's so interesting because actually when I gave birth to Ziggy, I felt it immediately because I was like, wow.
And isn't that crazy? You had such a different experience, which just goes to show like how different everybody is.
However, then as time moved on, my PPA, postpartum anxiety, and intrusive thoughts went out of control.
Yeah.
And I kept everyone I had to say out loud because I was like, if I don't say this out loud and I be the girl I used to be where I keep everything in, like... Yeah.
You were worried that was going to break you down. Yeah.
And my intrusive thoughts, Taylor, were crazy.
Dark.
And I had to always say them out loud.
Yeah.
And then whoever was around me would be like, okay, let's talk about it.
I know what kind of intrusive thoughts that you're even talking about, which...
It's like, even now, we're probably scared to say them.
It's not even worth saying right now.
Right.
I know what they are
because
so many of my friends have said them to me and I'm like, wow, But then so many people have said them to me that I know that's normal. That people have those intrusive thoughts.
And I think we'll probably have intrusive thoughts on different levels, probably for a very long time, even when they go to school. I don't know, like, what everyone's plans are, but, like, because even now I think of things that Ziggy will do in the future, hopefully, God willing, and I'm like, oh, my God, but what if this happens? And it's like, I think of these things, and it's like...
I think that...
You just have to chill out a little bit, Lucy.
But when you're, like, responsible for a whole life, it's, like, quite easy to...
Yeah,
like
so that. Crazy. So I'm just looking at the list now, what people said. So obviously we've touched on the sex life thing.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, guys, I just want to say, I can't tell you how many people wrote this in. So number one, you're not alone.
Yeah.
Because probably every single... Like, no one has a baby and then goes back to having a wild sex life. I'm sorry.
But also, you're still, like...
Exactly,
you're still recovering. Yeah, like,
it can take... I always read this. It takes 2 years for a woman, scientifically, to recover from a baby.
Mm.
Really. Mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, their soul, who they are. So, like, give yourself time and patience, but make sure your man is aware of what's going on, because half of this is educating men on like what exactly has gone on. Even if you have to freaking get a science book out and show them the like physiology of like a woman's body.
This is what happened, by the way.
Yeah.
Do you know what? At that point, they probably won't want science. They'll be like, do you know what, actually?
Like, pass. Yeah. Also, like hormones. Educate our men about hormones, because they rule our lives. They rule our
this
bodies.
This is why it's so important, by the way, to pick like a really great life partner.
True.
Someone who is like so understanding of you as a person, 100%. But also women.
Yeah.
Like,
and also I feel personally, and I'd say this in my situation, someone who learns.
Yes.
Like
someone who's open to learn, like, and that things change.
Because when I've had conversations with Steph in the past, and he's like, yeah, I totally understand that. He was like, it's weird because it's like our first time. It's our first time. So he's like, it's my first time having a baby. So it's like, you have to like learn. Like,
yeah.
In every, you have to like, pick a man that's open for learning.
Yeah.
And
ready to evolve with you.
And adapting and growing.
And you have to, the thing is, you have to grow together. I shall grow apart.
And if you don't grow together, then, as I say, you do grow apart. And then that is your, not destiny, that sounds a bit deep, but that's your, like,
path then. That's what's going to happen. Yeah.
But all I would say on the sex thing is that, like, just go easy on yourself.
Yeah.
Like, someone wrote to me and she was like, I haven't had sex with my partner in over 1.5 years. Like, our baby is 1.5. Like, we still haven't had sex. I'm like, whoa. Okay, 1.5 years is really long time.
You have to, I think you have to.
That to me is something maybe a bit deeper.
And I think that's where it's like, as well, if you've had those conversations and stuff, that's when it needs to kind of, you need to,
something needs to give. And then just on people, one lady wrote, this really got me, because I was like, whoa, I was there. I sit in my bathroom and I cry every day. I'm emotionally immensely exhausted. My relationship is tatters and I have no sex life.
That makes like, me really sad.
That was me though. So like, I hear you and I see you and like, you're not alone. Like I used to just sit, I wasn't on the in the bathroom. I was in bed a lot. Mm-hmm. And I just used to like, you know, when you cry, but like it hurts your eyeballs.
Yeah.
That real, that real like, I've got so much like emotion to shed.
Mm.
And I think it's
very, it can be very, even though you can have all of the support, I think becoming a mum can be very isolating in your own brain.
And let's talk about that, because one of the things I wrote is like, let's not just talk about relationship but friendships. Tell me your friends. I know you have a very core, like you have a
group,
you have some great people around you. What happened to your friendships when you had a baby? Stronger, worse?
I would honestly say, in terms of friendships, I am a person where I very much like to be with Jack every day. I'm not an extremely social person.
Yeah.
I won't, like, see my friends every
all the time.
Week.
Yeah.
Like, that has just always been me. Mm-hmm. That's just how I am. I would say that you do really realise who your friends are when you have a baby.
Agreed.
In just the sense of, like, checking in. And also, I feel like I've realised that some of my friends are even better friends than I thought they were.
Oh, that's so nice.
Just for, like, the way that, like, I feel like it's a mum thing. And I feel like I almost used to, like, separate myself a little bit from my mum friends. And I don't know whether subconsciously that was because I couldn't...
Facts.
I was struggling to have a baby. But
also,
I think just more of, like, what are we going to talk about? Like, I don't really feel like I have that much in common with you.
But now you have the baby.
Now,
yeah,
of feeling like, God, I could just offload on you because you're a mum as well.
Yeah.
It's like this language that brings every mum together.
I couldn't agree more.
And like some of my friends that would like check in even on like, do you remember when, like, I think it's like day 3 or day 4. It's like just
the
before
blues.
Your milk comes in and you just like crying for no reason.
Yeah, it's called the baby
One
blues.
Of my friends actually messaged me on like, I know it's around day 3 or day 4 and you're going to be feeling like this. And I literally was just in.
Oh, bless you.
Because I was like, oh my God, that is like, I could literally even cry just thinking about it. Because I thought that is such a nice thing. Like
really thinking.
It's just such a, like it's such a mum language.
Yeah.
For someone to like understand and know it.
I think it's crazy because when I think about friendships now, like I'll be honest, in my friendship group, apart from my one friend who had a baby, who's a little older now, baby we're talking about, 0 to 1, I'm the only one, so I find it really difficult. And I'll,
because nobody can understand unless you're actually doing it.
And I think my friends did try really hard, and I don't think any were. Like,
no,
I think
it's nobody's fault that they understand. You can't understand it until.
And
you
I
are
also enough. Don't think I let my friends have the opportunity enough to be there for me because I shut. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, I can't say anything because I don't even think I gave my friends the opportunity to be there a lot of the times. Mm. Like, my one best friend, she would always check in on me and I'd always be very thankful, but I never really gave her the opportunity to be there for me. Mm. And I'll give one example. One of my best friends held a sleepover.
Yeah.
And they got matching pajamas. Ziggy was maybe 5 months old. Invited me, there was like 12 of us. All my friends are like supermodels. So when you've just had a baby, nice. I'm like, great. So go over to my best friend's house. There's drinks. They're all looking like Victoria's Secret models. They're all in these gorgeous...
I feel like I might have saw this on YouTube.
Velvet, purple, yeah, matching pajamas. I'm there with Ziggy. I wanted the ground to swallow me up.
But that...
These are my best friends,
that,
by the way.
But that, to me, is where, like, people never see themselves how other people see them, because I would look at you and I would go, you look like a bloody supermodel. Yeah, but that's probably your feeling.
Yeah, I was there with Ziggy and, no, I burst out in tears.
Yeah.
And I remember I was like, I need to go. And my best friend Daisy, she was like, huh? I was like, I can't be here. And these are people that I've been comfortable around for years and years and years. I couldn't be around my friends. I think that's a reflection of what, as well,
how
of the space I was in.
Time, yeah.
Also, this is when Ziggy was still really poorly. Really poorly. And I remember
but there's no place that you want to be in that situation at home.
And I went back home and I cried the whole night. Mm. I was beside myself because I was like, who am I?
Yeah.
Can't even be around people that I've been around for the past 10 years and that are people that I feel are my safe space.
Mm.
I feel comfortable. But I remember they were all getting ready with their makeup. And I remember I was sat there and I was just like, I felt disgusting. Mm. And I just think that's how friendships can also really go through it when you have a baby, because 100%. You're just not.
And also, I feel like a lot of friendships can like veer in and out.
Yeah.
Like where you might not be super close to somebody, but then, you know, they might have a baby.
Yeah.
For example, you know, Daisy, she's announced her pregnancy.
Shout out to a best friend who's pregnant, yeah.
And she might take that understanding to a whole new level and be like, I think, and you'll be able to help her a lot. And then, you know, like that friendship could evolve even further because it's like you've now both been through it.
Yeah, for sure. But I do think a regret of mine is that I wish I let my friends in a little bit more. I really feel like I isolated myself, especially from my closest.
So new. Everything was like so new to
you. But I kind of reverted to type. I kind of revert to that girl who deals with everything by herself. And it's not. You need the village.
Yeah.
You need the people to help.
Yeah.
So I think that's really interesting how, like, friendships can go kind of, like, left or right. So I'm just going to now read through particular ones.
Yeah.
Tell me your thoughts. My partner says I'm unattractive. He won't look at my C-section scar.
Bye.
Put him in the bin.
Like, no. That is not a man that you want to...
That really
Do
you
want to
get your Starbucks
me.
And throw it at that person? Because that's what I want to do.
I just think that is really, really, really sad. Like, my heart breaks for
my
that girl. Because
too.
I just think, how can a person be so shallow to know... Like, your person has given birth to your child... And you're so superficial to think that you can't even look at a scar on someone's body.
I know. That, I read that one and I was like angry typing it, because it's just like, it's like you don't know what that scar represents. That scar represents so much, and you can't even look at it.
No, and also women are already so conscious and so vulnerable.
Of course,
with the body changes.
Of course,
add that into things is like that is like.
The lowest
I don't even know that that's debilitating.
Yeah, that's like the lowest of the low. So what's our advice? Our advice is put him in the bin. Yeah, put him
in
the bin.
He's gotta go.
Okay.
Which is awful because that's her baby daddy.
I know.
He's gotta go.
I know, he has literally got to go.
Unless he can evolve and learn.
But like, yeah, quickly. Really,
like,
freaking quickly.
He needs to go to boot camp.
Yeah, right now. Come see us. This is a really interesting one. I always feel like me and my partner is in a competition. Who is more tired? Who's done more? Who has more right to complain?
That's
I feel
me.
Like...
This is me and Jack a bit. I'm not going to lie.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like it's difficult when you make things a competition, because I've been there as well. And I always have to, like, stop myself immediately when I do it.
Yeah.
The minute you turn things into a competition, it's hard.
I would say that me and Jack have been in that tournament before.
Okay.
Like, not in a really... it's not in, like, a vicious way. It's just more of a, like, Well, I've done that too.
Yeah.
Like that kind of phase.
But I feel like when the baby comes, you just have to pick shit up. Like, yeah. You, okay, someone likes one of the dishes a little bit, fine. You just have to go in, you, like, the minute you
make things... That's something I really registered very quickly, you know, that I was doing, because I'd be like, you want to make everything fair.
Yeah, but it's...
And it's like, you have to put your ego to the side.
Like,
and
yeah,
be like, your ego, right, no, stop.
Your ego
it doesn't
has
matter.
To go.
This job's got to get done, so someone's got to do it.
Literally, I'm going to really quickly fly through these in 5 minutes. So we've been together 6 years. We have a wedding booked for 2025, but we've just had a child and we feel like we're just friends raising a baby. We were so carefree before and we think we might let it go.
That's just given me chills. Like,
really?
Yeah, that's just made me feel really...
Well, okay, so I feel like I've not been in a really, really long... You've been 10 years deep now.
Yeah.
What would be your advice?
My advice,
because I feel like with
just
this,
quickly reread it to myself.
So they've been together for 6 years already. Mm-hmm. They've just had a baby. They've got a wedding booked for 2025, mm-hmm. but they feel like they're friends raising a baby.
I feel like if it's a mutual thing where they both definitely feel like that, I don't think that's a bad way. Obviously, the wedding's got to go. Like, the wedding's got to be cancelled at this point. Mm-hmm. Like,
do you think?
100%.
We've got 2 years though to potentially work on it.
Oh, sorry, the wedding's in 2 years.
2025. Okay. Are we 2023?
But I feel like if they already both know and it's like a thing where they're like...
But you know that love it inside of me? I'm like, make it work.
No, I'm like, cancel the wedding because that's just an added stress.
I'm so unrealistic as well.
Yeah.
I just need to
cancel the wedding. That's
okay, cancel
stress.
The wedding.
You know, I know so many people that have such long relationships, get married, and then it all goes. It's all gone.
Yeah.
Like, this actually happens. Happened to my sister, my older sister.
Really?
Yeah, like, they were together for, like, she won't mind me saying this at all, like, for 15 years, and then
they got
divorced.
Married.
Yeah, and not long after, they're divorced now.
Oh,
and they're both happily, you know, moved on. But it just happened. I would say get rid of the wedding, and I think if it's a mutual thing and you're at a non-toxic place, there's going
to
raise the
sometimes
top
it's good
together.
To quit. And I,
it is.
Yeah, I'm just, I'm sorry. I'm sometimes so, like, I have that, like, lover inside of me and I'm, like, so unrealistic.
There we go.
That's good perspective, though.
Part of me's, like, fight for it. I also like the perspective that, like, life's too short to stay with somebody if you're not really
very
happy.
True. Very true. My partner cheated on me at the end of my pregnancy and then left me when the baby was 12 weeks old. My baby is now 11 months old. I'm thriving, just the two of us. And this, he cheated on me after we have been together for six years. We have a house, a dog, and it took us 6 months to get pregnant. Like, why, bro? For what reason? You're wasting everyone's time.
Yeah, no.
Sorry.
So what does she want out of this?
That was a statement. He's gone.
That's just a statement.
Her and the baby are thriving, and that's what we love to see.
That's what
we
love to see.
Sorry, you worked 6 months to get pregnant. You then cheat on her and leave her.
Mm.
For what? You must have too much time on your hands.
Yeah.
Go and get a job, respectfully. Like, literally. This is a good one. I'd like to see if you know your thoughts on this, because I really love my thoughts on it.
Okay.
No, I don't... I don't really love my thoughts on it, but I love the thought of it. Therapy? Ever been a thing?
Oh, I'm, like, big into this thing.
Do you have it?
I don't have therapy, but I have life coaching, which coach is very similar. We've never had joint, but we both have life coaching.
Wow, okay, cool. So basically, this lady said that therapy saved us when we had a baby.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what I needed last year.
Yeah, if I was ever at a point where I thought me and Jack were struggling, that's like the first thing that I would do.
People see
because you
negative,
sometimes
though.
Do no,
it's amazing.
You know, in America,
yeah,
I was
it's
like,
a thing.
Well, I was with my therapist.
Yeah, it's
like
therapist.
It's almost like going to yoga.
Going to get
yeah, and I love that.
Me
like,
too.
Like, they have done so well at what's the word normalizing
therapy, it and social.
Where it's over here, it's like, what, are you having a breakdown?
I know.
And it's like, no.
It's like seeing
actually,
you failing
I
again.
Don't go to life coaching because I'm struggling. I actually now go to life. I did start with. I now have my life coaching when I feel like I want to learn something new and I want to evolve.
Yeah.
It's completely the opposite.
Yeah.
And it's the same with therapy. All therapy does, it makes you
perspective.
Speak.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I'm hearing my words now and I can rationalize and understand what's going on.
And I feel like that would have saved me last year.
Yeah, you probably needed them.
Because I couldn't rationalize anything.
Yeah.
But I was in such a dark place, I couldn't even bring myself to get it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
No, 100%.
I was like,
my first life coaching session, I cried the whole way. And he's like, I haven't even said anything. And he started to cry. I was like, oh, no.
It's crazy, yeah. Isn't it? So yeah, shout
love
out
that.
Yeah, shout
I feel
out
like anybody who's struggling should just go and get therapy with their partner if you're in the position that you can.
Yeah, literally. Someone said to me and my partner are constantly arguing. We both have different views on how the baby should be raised. That's a really difficult one.
That's a difficult one. I feel like there's just got to be a compromise.
Well, I can relate to this because me and Seth come from different cultures.
Yeah.
And he's desired things that I don't and won't like allow. And you know what it is? You have to just be like understanding and balanced.
Yeah.
I'm sure he won't mind me talking about this. So he is half Moroccan. I don't know if you know this. It's an Islamic Muslim country. So before Ziggy was born, he wanted Ziggy to be circumcised. I wouldn't allow it. Mm-hmm. However, Seth doesn't eat pork.
Yeah.
So I'm like, and Seth said to me, like, I really don't want to raise Ziggy, like, eating pork. It's just not something in my culture that we really do. And, like, Seth doesn't eat pork. And I was like, okay, totally cool. Like,
compromise.
You have to compromise. Yeah. Like, I'm not big on meat anyways. I don't buy pork. So, like, I have no reason to feed Ziggy pork. So, like, I feel like when it comes to raising a baby and butting heads and different views, you have to compromise.
You do.
It's give and take. It's mean and that.
It's unless like, you're well, that's not really for me, but I know that this thing was you agreed.
Unless you're totally no, like I was like no on the circumcision.
Yeah.
And he had to like understand that and vice versa.
Yeah.
So I feel like for that one you just have to really, really like compromise.
Yeah. And be open minded as well. That, you know, something that you maybe weren't okay with, like, look, this is something that he's really strongly about.
Yeah. Like exactly. Okay. So let me just pick. Okay, I'll pick these two. So I don't know if you experienced any of this. I did experience a little bit, but unhelpful comments from family members and family members pushing boundaries. Did you experience any of that?
I actually experienced a little bit the opposite, to be honest. I thought I had anxiety in my last weeks of pregnancy, wondering how I could say to like my family, because they live around the corner. My mum is around my house every day. I'm very close to my family and I love it. And they're so helpful and they help us with so much. But I, because of this like big society thing of you got to be in your newborn bubble and it should just be you, your partner and your baby, and you should really enjoy it and everything like that. I had anxiety to say, look, we might want a couple of weeks where it's just us. And like there is not somebody who is more excited for the story than my mum. So I was thinking, how am I even going to approach that conversation?
Did you approach her?
I kind of just made little comments like, you know, mum, we might want like a few days or a week or whatever, where it's just as obviously you can meet her when she's born, but then we might want a bit of time. And you know what? The day that time came, I was like, mum, please come round, please help. I don't know what I'm doing, la, la, la.
Okay.
And I really wanted her, didn't we, Jack? And where we thought we wouldn't want any family around, we had more family around than we've ever had.
It's so interesting.
Yeah. And because some people are like, we just want it to be us as a family. I was like, no, please come round and do what you can to help us because, you know, this is so new to us.
And a lot of people talk about mother-in-laws.
I have the best mother-in-law.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I have the best... I can honestly say, and I said this to her not long ago, there has never been one single thing that she has done that's ever even slightly annoyed me, which is like literally such a rare. She's a Pisces as well.
Wow, like, Pisces.
So I don't know whether it's like a Pisces.
It's a Pisces thing.
But she's just a very, very understanding person. She's just like Jack.
She's raised Jack.
Yeah.
So.
She is so self-aware. Like,
wow.
Self-awareness
available.
Is the biggest thing ever. You know when somebody,
you
know when somebody doesn't understand your like personal space. She's one of them people where she'll be like, right, come on now, because you know they need their own time.
Oh, that's
and
good.
And when you have someone like
that,
you're like,
that's really good. Saving grace.
Yeah, so good.
So
no, I haven't had that. If anything, completely the opposite. Where I thought I am a very boundary person.
Yeah,
really.
You
really
thought
am.
You were gonna want. Your
I thought
bubble,
I was,
and then you were like, no, mom.
Yeah, and I was like, come in.
The door's open.
Yeah.
I think for me it was a bit of a mixture. I'm gonna be really honest, I don't remember.
Yeah,
so like,
but
I
don't remember the newborn
I can't even
phase.
Talk about it.
And when people say to me as well, this is also another thing, like, I like the newborn phase is the best. I like couldn't disagree more.
Like, I can't even talk about like that phase because I genuinely don't remember it. So
I don't think
I'm not
a lot of
waste
people
time.
Remember the newborn phase.
No.
Even if it wasn't traumatic,
yeah,
you're so in autopilot
the
and
hormones,
so brain fogged
yeah.
and everything that I literally barely remember a thing.
But I do think what's really important is like with family members and people wanting to put their two pence in with raising a baby. Yeah. Like, you just
You get that on Instagram with people commenting.
Yeah, I think my only, like, you just always have to set your boundaries. 100%. And, like, you know your baby best. Yeah. And even if every family member and blah, 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 like, say no.
Yeah, and you know what? It's much easier if you start with that. And you keep to it rather than not saying it, letting it boil up to the point where you're then like, how do I say that now without looking rude? Whereas if you say from the start, my baby, my
I actually did. There was in a family group chat, and I put in the group chat of both families, like my list of boundaries. I'm not even joking.
No, good for you. You should be able to do that. It's your baby.
Yeah, like I
one thing that I said was like, because it wasn't a thing when we were born. Please no kissing her on
that's
the lips.
That's exact same as me.
You know, like...
That was my first one. Don't kiss my baby on the
lips. And me and my family were all very kissy, huggy. Same. Like, you know...
Did they find that weird?
I think my mum did.
Yeah.
She didn't, like, openly say it, but she'll be like... I don't know, just some of the faces that she makes and stuff, I would have been like... I knew that she was a bit like, oh, I can't kiss you on the lips kind of thing, because she was so used to being...
Yeah.
So smeechy. Yeah. But it's like, Mum, I know you're not, like, ridden with disease or anything like that, but...
You just have to protect the baby. Yeah, I was the same. I think there was a few, like, huh?
Yeah.
But I was like, I'm sorry.
I used to just see things on Instagram and forward it.
Yeah. Like, oh, that's a good way to do it.
Oh, this is why you shouldn't kiss them.
Yeah, indirect.
Yeah.
Okay, last one. I've got so many, I really just need to... think.
Pick a good finisher.
Yeah. It's difficult because they're all from such different lenses. I just think I'll finish the last one on. A lot of people were saying that they feel their partners, husbands, fiancés don't respect them, their time. They don't understand that being a stay-at-home mom is probably a harder job than this going to work.
This is such a good
ending
point.
I'm sorry, I have to admit it. Being a stay-at-home mom is so hard. No one understands it.
Way harder than going to get
Way harder than going to sit in the office on your bum.
You know, so when you were younger, did you... Because I feel like you've got a very entrepreneurial dad.
Yeah.
Did you used to think when you were younger... My dad's the hard worker because he used to go out and go to work.
Yeah.
And now do you feel like, Dad, you had it easy because mum was at home with us?
Yeah, and mum's at
home. Same with Jack's dad. He was exactly the same, used to go out. And now they'll even say, oh, my God, like, honestly, your mum had the hard job. But it's weird the way you see it when you're younger because you're like,
my dad's
such a hard worker. And then now you're like,
and
actually.
Also, my mum was doing it on her own in foreign countries.
Yeah, wow.
So, like... Yeah, my dad, you just hit the nail. My dad was working 13, 14 hours a day. And my mom was on her own with two kids. Yeah. And shout out to you, Mom, because my mom's incredible. And yeah, I just think men just don't get it. And like, they don't understand that being a stay-at-home mom, because someone wrote, my husband comes home and argues with me. Imagine arguing with someone that just had a baby over not doing enough dishes, cleaning, washing. They expect that because you're at home, everything has to be tip-top.
Yeah,
everything has to be tip-top shape. In my opinion, when you come home, you take your work shirt off or whatever you do and you help.
Yeah.
You go and help with the cooking, you go and help with the cleaning, you go and help with the washing.
Look what you've been doing today.
Because looking after a baby...
Put your feet up.
Yeah. Is
after you.
Someone said to me the other day, my partner comes home and goes on the PlayStation.
No. Oh, God. That's you know what? I don't get it. I don't get
it. Put the PlayStation in the bin.
I don't get it out a lot, but that's
it. No, that's an ick. And I thank God that, for example, Seth's not a freaking Game Boy, because I could not imagine you coming home and going on a PlayStation.
No, and you've got a baby.
Are you 12?
No.
Come on now. It's ridiculous behaviour. I was fuming when I read it. Don't do that, men. You come home, you go and say, babe, what can I do to help you? That is going to turn your woman on more than anything.
It is.
When you come home and say, how can I help you?
Yeah, 100%.
So just drop the expectations. Your woman's going through it, and staying at home with the baby is harder than anything.
It
so
is.
Drop your ego and Mr. Big
now.
Drop the expectations.
Yeah, but also like, going to a job is like, that's easy work.
It's like a holiday.
It is.
It's
and
basically
that's,
like
that's why I want to have like a piece of work and go to work and like come and do this. Like, this is amazing.
Have you had fun?
Yeah. But it's also like amazing to come out of that environment. You know, I love story to bits, but...
And don't you think it makes you a better mom?
It does. Because
you go home and you're like...
My cup's full now. Yeah. And I'm like, I feel like ready to give her a hug and do the nappies and everything.
Yeah.
Whereas before it was like, oh my God, I've been in this environment for so long.
You're so tired, yeah.
Like, you need this.
And I just think that...
This is how our dads used to feel. He used to walk through work and be like, woo! I'm out.
But like, I'm so like thankful that my dad is the way he is, because he's so hands-on and like...
Yeah.
always, although I always remember, sorry, I'm not even going to go there because I'm going to go on a huge tangent. But anyways, men, please drop these like expectations of your woman. It's like this, like, we're not in the 50s, like,
it's 2023.
The 50s, like, where women are in these like pin skirts and you come home to like a freshly baked pie, no. Like, I know there are amazing people that do that as well, and that might be some people's style, but like, there's no fresh baked pie in my house.
I'm not making a pie.
Bloody hell, no way. Actually, funnily enough, the other day I went to Morrison's and bought one and put it in the oven and it went down a tree, but there's no freshly baked pies. Anyways.
Should we cheer?
Cheers.
To the first episode?
Cheers to the first episode. Cheers to the Tay Brew. Cheers
for having me.
All the teas, Tay Brew, Topic Tuesdays. Yeah. Thanks so much for coming, Taylor. I know you have so much going on and you're
spinning
circling. You're juggling. No, you don't juggle plates.
Spinning so many plates.
You're spinning so many plates, so I really appreciate that. And thanks so much to everyone who listened to and watched our first Topic Tuesdays episode. That was so exciting. We've got so much coming up, lots of guests that I know you will be eagerly waiting to see, and some really, really fun topics that we're going to touch on. Remember, you can catch us on YouTube, over on Instagram. You can listen to us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and we will be on TikTok. Thanks so much for tuning in. See you next time. Bye.